too.
Mr. Bojo and Mr. Pete, remember when you ordered that powder stuff, vitamin stuff for me? Yeah, anyway, I'd like you to do that again.
The GNC stuff,
yeah.
that was the closest thing to a growth hormone that wasn't shown.
No. I'll show you afterwards. But.
Okay.
And then Mr. Bojo, I went to a store yesterday. I went to two stores looking for what I thought was terrible. I want some shorts that go below my knee.
Why are you going straight on us? Going
humble or what?
Huh?
He's going below your knee. Yeah.
I don't know what you mean by that. Below your knee?
Well,
are you fancy?
No, they're just the shorts. Mine are always my leg part.
Like
this is my leg. My shorts are too short.
You can do like the gangs do and just wear your shorts down around your hips.
Never mind.
Oh man, I saw a guy yesterday. This was earth shattering. This guy actually, his pants were this low. All of his button underwear showing and he's walking down the street. I could not.
That's just appalling.
That's just wrong.
It was wrong.
I wanted to go over and talk to the guy and say, what's going on here?
You know, all I can think of is just butt ugly.
Now we can start over.
All right. Ignore the first part of this Bible study about my long shorts and another mysterious ignore everything that we've done so far because we haven't done anything.
Well,
looky here. Where's your computer? Oh, okay.
Computer in the pocket. It's worth two in the bush.
Let's go to.
Before we start, John found something last night that yesterday about that word for thank in Philippians. I thought that I had you about thinking, you know, because Philippians says, finally, my brethren, think on these things. And then, but it's that word logizomai that. Means reckon, and he was just talking about considering other people better than yourself, considering yourself as empty as nothing. And that was amazing.
What's your point?
My point was that
Ole might be right.
You still got to think to reckon. Maybe that throws it all back into the...
Maybe. Let's go to 2 Timothy. This is what we ended on yesterday. 2 Timothy 2. Starting verse 11. It is a faithful saying, for if we be dead with him, we shall also live with him. If we suffer, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us. If we believe not, yet he abideth faithful. He cannot deny himself. And then it goes on and on and on. And then what we looked at yesterday, starting verse 24. The servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient, in meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves. if God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledgement of the truth, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will.
What scripture was that?
2 Timothy
2. 24 to 26. Now, we are taken captive by the evil one at his will. And that's pretty strong. And that we, the purpose of teaching then, and instruct those that oppose themselves. How do you oppose yourself? That's kind of important to find out how you oppose yourself.
Well, I think it's real simple. You've been saying it for years. Using your mind is opposing yourself.
All right, let's go to Psalm.
Is that wrong, right?
That's right. So go to Psalm 82. We're going to read one through, well, we're going to read the whole psalm. It's very short.
Psalm 82.
Huh? Did you say something for all of us?
Psalm 82.
I was lost.
Psalm 82. God standeth in the congregation of the mighty. He judgeth among, or he's first among the gods, is what it says. How long will you judge unjustly and accept the person of the wicked one? Defend the poor and fatherless, do justice to the afflicted and needy, deliver the poor and needy, rid them out of the hand of the wicked one. In every case that I know of, in both the New and the Old Testament, when it talks about the person that's wicked or doing wickedness, it's always the wicked one. How long will you judge unjustly and accept the person of the wicked one? And then defend the poor and fatherless, do justice to the afflicted and needy, deliver the poor and needy, and rid them out of the hand of the wicked one. They know not, neither will they understand. They walk on in darkness. All the foundations of the earth are out of course. I have said, you are gods, and all of you are children of the Most High. But you shall die like men, and fall like one of the princes. Arise, O God, and judge the earth, for thou shalt inherit all nations. Now, it says, this is really Christ speaking, I have said you are gods. You've never been an independent human being. That's the wicked one's deception. All of us. I have said you are gods. And all children of the Most High. That means that we are all of the same. It's not like we are God's sons or daughters. It's that we all are of the same group, is what structure is what that means. We're all of the same. We are gods, but in all of the same group is the best way to say it. But you shall die like men. Now let's Let's go to 1 Corinthians 6. Verse 15. Know you not that your bodies are the members of Christ? Shall I then take the members of Christ and make them the members of a harlot? God forbid. What? Know you not that he which is joined to a harlot is one body? For two, saith he, shall be one flesh. But he that is joined unto the Lord is one spirit. So there's only two places. You're either joined to the Lord or joined to the harlot. We studied it extensively in Romans 7 and 9 that there's no independent human will or independent human being. We have always been vessels. For a deity. That's why he said, I have said, you are gods. It's so difficult to try to apprehend or even be apprehended by the idea that the use of your mind is of the evil one. There's not an independent Gary or Jeff or Lisa or any of us. The evil one has been masquerading as you your whole life.
So if the fall had not happened, would we have an independent mind?
No, we would have innocency that would be tested by antagonism. You don't ever have to raise your hand.
I'm a polite person. Isn't that what it means by leaning on your own understanding?
Sure.
What?
It means
using your own
Your own abilities.
Exactly.
But it's I mean I can't express in enough words how difficult the understanding that I have never been an independent entity is to grok. It's something you fight with everything in you until finally something happens, and it can only come by revelation. It can't come by study. It only comes by revelation when you are sick and tired of everything else. Then the news that I've never been an independent entity is welcome. Let's go to 2 Corinthians 6. I think. That one just came to me. I may be wrong. Yeah, starting in verse 14. Be you not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship has righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Belial, or the evil, again, the name for Satan? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God, as God has said, I dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore come out from among them, and be you separate, saith the Lord. Touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. The unclean thing is you. Because you are the evil one. You are sin. You don't do sin. You are sin. And that's all you can do is be of the evil one. Until the first thing he said to his disciples, abandon yourself. That means a total divorce. Actually, the word is deny, but it means totally abandon yourself. Let's just look at that one again. Mark 8, I think. I'm winging it here, so I may not be right about these scriptures. how about that? I was right. Verse 30. Well, let's go. Let's just start in when they asked who when Jesus asked his disciples, who do men say that I am? So in verse 27, and Jesus went out and his disciples unto the town of Caesarea Philippi, and by the way he asked his disciples, saying unto them, whom do men say that I am? And they answered, John the Baptist. Some say Elijah, and others one of the prophets. And he saith unto them, but whom say you that I am? And Peter answered and said unto him, thou art the Christ. And he charged them that they should tell no man. And he began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected of the scribes and of the chief priests, rejected of chief priests and scribes, and be killed, and after 3 days rise again. And he spake openly, and Peter took him and began to rebuke him. But when he had turned about and looked on his disciples, he rebuked Peter, saying, get thee behind me, Satan, for thou savorest not the things that be of God, but the things that be of men. And when he had called the people unto him, with his disciples also, he said unto them, whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself, and take up his cross, and follow me. Now the deny himself and take up the cross are summary commands. The follow me is the act of those two. So a deny doesn't mean, you know, stop taking drugs or stop drinking or stop cursing or any of those kind of things. It's a total abandonment of self. A total abandonment of self such that it's never to go back and be referred to even. Now you can only abandon yourself. You can't. It's by definition, you cannot abandon yourself. And do that with your mind. You can only abandon yourself when you're like Peter here, when he Jesus said to him, "Get thee behind me, Satan." When you see, do you understand? He was speaking to Peter, to Peter's mind. And the mind always savoureth the things that be of men and not of God. That's all it can do. Is it maybe possible to believe that our purpose as a disciple is to abandon ourselves, to get a divorce from ourselves? Again, Christ, this is the incredible miracle of the grace of God, that Christ took on himself us. He became as Son of Man. He was a child of Satan, a child of the evil one. But he pushed that limit. He pushed it till he found out that everything that he could possibly think about was of the evil one. That's when he found that out. That's when he was baptized. Just as in us. When we find out that we're the evil one, then baptism becomes not a rite, it becomes everything. And only he is risen from the dead. Only Jesus Christ is risen from the dead. You're not. He alone has immortality. The only one that can return to the Father is the one that came from the Father. The only one that can return to heaven is the one that came from heaven. Now all this is locked up in this idea that we have free will. No, we either have the will of Satan or the will of God. And all of us walked according to the prince of the power of the air. Go to Ephesians chapter 2. And you, verse 1, and you hath he quickened. What does that mean? You has he made alive, who were dead in trespass and sin, where in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation, our manner of life in times past, in the lusts of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath. The only one that's a children of wrath by nature is the evil one. This is why. Carnal mind is enmity against God. It's not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can it be. So every time you use your mind, you return to the evil one. He is resurrected in you by you. Because he's waiting. He's always there. What did it just say? He's take you captive at his will.
Yeah, it's even worse. That scripture says if he takes him captive to do his will.
I'm sorry, I misspoke.
It's, yeah.
seems, I mean, I understand this can only, you can, we can read these scriptures all day and your mind will try to figure out a way to still keep you in the picture. If something, you know, if something is repeated two or three times, it's kind of important. But what we've been studying is repeated hundreds of times in the New and Old Testament. Be ye not joined together with the evil one. Be ye not joined with the harlot. Let's look at that harlot just again. Go to Revelation 17. Now remember, in the book of Revelation, the revelation of Jesus Christ, it's after the letters to the seven churches, then everything after that is the angel saying, come see, or come hear, and I will show you something. And what he's saying, he's not coming to the angel and they're still looking at stuff like we look at stuff. He's looking from the top down. Does everybody understand that? He's looking from the position of eternity every time the angel says, come see. So here, in verse 17, verse 1, and there came one of the seven angels which had the seven vials, and talked with me, saying unto me, come here, and I will show unto thee the judgment of the great whore that sitteth upon many waters. And then we'll go ahead just a minute, just so you can, it certifies. In verse 15 it says, and he saith unto me, the waters which thou sawest where the whore sitteth are peoples and multitudes and nations and tongues. The whore is sitting on the mind, the seven high places of your mind, in every person born after the fall. And here's the picture of the whore, whom the kings of the earth have committed fornication, with whom the kings of the earth have committed fornication. The inhabitants of the earth have been made drunk with the wine of her fornication. Now, what does that mean? You're drunk with the wine of your fornication. Your fornication is believing anything that comes from where she's seated. In the Old Testament, the wine of fornication was self-seeking. But that's all the mind can do, is self for self. Every once in a while, there may be a hero out there appears to do something different, but fundamentally it's self for self. That's what we are, because we are the evil one. We are the Antichrist. We are sin. So he carried me away in the spirit into the wilderness, and I saw a woman sit upon a scarlet colored beast, full of the names of blasphemy, having seven heads and ten horns. And the woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet color, and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls, having a golden cup in her hand. Now, all of those things that decked with all the pearls and scarlet colored, it's everything that considers the highest that humans can go, that they're king. And this is the definition. And the woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet color, and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls, having a golden cup in her hand. Now that golden cup contained everything that the human race wants. It's the same golden cup, the sun, the constellation that's the snake covers a third of the circle of the earth. And the golden cup is on the serpent. Same golden cup. And it's everything that you esteem is in the golden cup. Everything that you think is right and good and proper is what's in that golden cup. That's the deception. And you hang on to that deception until finally you're destroyed. The only way that, I mean destroyed in terms of the things that you value. You've seen the emptiness and abominations of all the things that you can conceive of. The golden cup in her hand, full of abominations and filthiness of her fornication. And upon her forehead was a name written, Mystery, Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and the abominations of the earth. Now on her forehead, that name is all she can do. The mother of harlots and abominations of the earth. There's not one of us that would think, without revelation, that what that golden cup was full of could possibly be harlots and abominations of the earth and names of blasphemy. Because with our mind, this is everything that man wants in the person, if you will, of this harlot that's sitting on your mind, on the seven high places of your mind. Again, we are instructed by Paul that everything that happened in the Old Testament happened for our benefit, but especially the land of Canaan. The land of Canaan had seven tribes that had to be defeated. And when they went in and took the tribes over, took the land over, they killed every man, woman, and child of that tribe, of those seven tribes. That's what has to happen in you. So there's no more possibility of returning to sin for your understanding. That's why even wanting to know the Bible better, wanting to know the scriptures better, is a loss to Christ, because it's a gain to you. That's why all the things that you think are good works are lost to Christ. Can you see that how free will is connected to all this? There's only the will of God and the will of Satan. There's no other. You've never existed as an independent self. Now, this is the essence of everything I teach. This is why I preach only the cross. So there's no wiggle room for the harlot or the instead of Christ to have a place. Please consider these things. And if you do, then please see what it means when you repent. You're not just repenting of a thought or a fantasy, you're repenting of resurrecting the evil one. He's taking you captive at his will. Please, I beg of you, search the scriptures to see whether these things be true. You will not find him anywhere else, I promise you, but in the scriptures. Any expansions in the tale, or questions, or rebukes, or brickbats?
way we read that deny yourself scripture, it's like you need to read that periodically.
Daily.
To abandon yourself. Really, it's like forget about yourself. You've forgotten.
And that's why it says neglecting those things that are behind. I press toward the mark of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Nothing else. Amen? We still will probably spend the rest of this week on this subject, so I think it's important and timely.
Are these people like tearing up the street again, or what?
I have no idea.
We're tearing up the sidewalk in front of the building.
Take it, big guy.